Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 23rd of September, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the deep state is in a panic, walk in faith, healing prayer, current Q posts, and then an open mic section at the end. As we begin this call, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. We do take callers, and we do remind you to keep them short, to allow others to participate as much as possible. Sometimes it's not, but we understand that. We also want you to know we're in the question and answer mode, which means you are automatically muted, whether you're on a computer or on a telephone. You are muted until you signal me, and then I unmute you. So don't worry about some people get kind of afraid to call in because you think you're going to be heard and whatnot, and you're not. Okay, in the question and answer mode, you're automatically muted until I unmute you. We have information and scheduling on our website, PastorDan.net, and that's pretty simple. PastorDan, that's all together, .net. We give a shout out to Jimmy and his crew over there at Bank versus UTV in Tampa. Welcome to the program, folks. Working together as a team, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? We do also want to remind folks when you call in, we got a beautiful letter from one of our listeners and supporters saying thank you for the reining in of language. We do get kind of colorful from time to time because these are perilous times and passionate people, especially when we feel injustices are being done, tend to get caught up in the moment, so to speak. When it's a all-male conference call, which we do have from time to time, that's certainly understandable, but on these shows we have to remind ourselves that there are young children and some of our senior citizens who listen in, and they don't always they don't always relate to our passion. All right, let's just say it that way. So, lots of things are going on. In fact, there's so much going on, it's really hard to try to boil it down to a short list. But I'm going to go through some of the things that have been coming up, coming into the desk here over the last 4 days, and try to bring you up to speed with that. Also, as it relates to biblical prophecy, which all of it does, basically. And these are exciting times. Certainly not a time to weep and moan and bitch about the way things are, because this is exactly what Father said would come. He's true to His word. Unlike us, He doesn't lie. And so just don't lean on your own understanding, as the scripture says. Don't lean on your own understanding, because we see through colored glass, is the biblical way it says it, meaning you can't see clearly. Let's say you know that kind of frosting you can put on a window to your bathroom. Well, you can tell somebody's behind it, but you can't see the details. That's what that biblical verse is talking about. So just remember that. You're given signs of the times. You're given an overview. Some people refer to as the 50,000 foot in the air view of the earth. So you're seeing things in generalities and bits and pieces, but not details. Father keeps the details in His playbook, and we're not privy to it. So, again, lots going on. Again, we'll open up the mic here in a little bit. A couple quotes and verses, and then we'll get into the headline news. We're going to remind you that both Obadiah at verse 18 and Ezekiel in chapter 25 at verse 14 remind us what the outcome of all this is going to be for those who are known as the Edom-Esau people, the Canaanites of old, Pharisees and Sadducees in the time of Christ. Pastor Lawrence Blanchard, in his seven-book series on your biblical heritage, does a wonderful job of explaining how the word Jew has been corrupted through the years. First of all, the actual word Jew, J-E-W, has not existed for more than about 200 years, 200 to 300 years max. Somewhere in the 1700s it came into existence in the English language. So it itself, that word, did not exist until the latter days. So he does a very good job explaining how the people that lived in Palestine, who were referred to as Judeans, which is what the Greek word Judaios means, basically a Judean. Well, it meant either somebody living in Judea or a member of the tribe of Judah. Well, there's a big difference there. All of the tribe of Judah could be called Judeans, but certainly not outsiders could not be called Judahites, because you have to be a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes. So therein lies part of the confusion, that even in the Greek language, the same word could apply to imposters who just happen to live in your land, and it can apply to the real deal. Just like in America today, somebody says you're an American. Well, up until the 1950s, that was understood to be that you were white. Do you remember? Some of you remember. I was born then. I remember. It was a common knowledge thing in the world when you went somewhere and said, I'm an American, that you were a white person. Why? Because white people founded America. It's as simple as that. It's a historical fact. All right, but now you've got people who call themselves Americans who are not white. It's the same kind of thing. Therefore, so much confusion. And by the way, if you have people who are just now opening their eyes, part of the Great Awakening, it's being called, and they want to come up to speed with this message and who's who and all that, I'm going to highly recommend Pastor Blanchard's seven-book series, Your Biblical Heritage, and his website is yourbiblicalheritage.com. It's only seven books, and he's got lots and lots of footnotes, lots of references, color graphs, charts, maps, and it's a current production. There's other material that's still out there, like Frederick Habermann's Tracing Your Ancestors and all that. Excellent books, don't get me wrong, excellent books. But we're running out of time. We're near the end. And if you need to get up to speed quickly, those seven books would be a great way to do that. So just bear that in mind. Or you can take the long route, like some of us have taken. I was telling somebody on the phone the other night that in my library I had 1,100 cassette tape lectures. That's just cassette. That's not books, pamphlets, 8-track tapes, later on DVDs and things like that. That's just cassette tapes. Now, some of the young people don't even know what a cassette tape player is. But 1,100 of those were all lectures in identity by various teachers. And that's just how strong the desire to know this truth was, and to get it from multiple sources, not one. I didn't find any particular singular source that I found to be 100% accurate. Not when I took their message and then went into the word studies myself. I didn't find anybody that was 100% right. So, therefore, the Bible says that in the counsel of many there's victory. It also tells us to take in all things and keep that which is good. And that's exactly what I was doing. I took in as much as I could consume, and still do to this day. taking the bits and pieces that fit into the big jigsaw puzzle in the proper place so that we get a better picture of where we're at today. Now, I just watched the first half of a great interview between Greg Hunter and Mark Taylor, the fireman. He's retired now, but the fireman from Orlando, Florida, who did the Trump Prophecies book. And Mark and Greg did some interesting talk, especially when you put it in conjunction with the American intelligence media that just put out a very short interview or a video this, just this morning that listed the perps, which is short for perpetrators, of the crimes against the people of the United States and the world, because the Pope is on there. This is a long list. I've never seen this list before this morning. It is very long. A lot of names on there we recognize, like Hillary and Bill and the Podestas, etc. But there were a lot more on there that surprised me. So the video basically says, we know what you have done, and we will be coming for you. So also the list of indictments or sealed indictments that are sitting there being investigated or ready to be unsealed is up to 52,000. 52,000. Well, when you look at this list that the AIM, which is American Intelligence Media, AIM, which AIM put together, it's far shorter than that, but these were the people at the top. These are lists of people at the very, very top, predominantly government, but some religious, some in Department of Justice and some in the intelligence agencies, government in general, just a long, long list. 52,000 indictments. So we don't know day by day how this is going to play out, and that's something that Greg and Mark in their discussion were talking about. This is where faith comes in. Now, to put a feather in those of us here at By Yahweh's Designs cap, Greg and Mark were talking about the military tribunals, and that Mark has been talking about these since 2016, I think he said, somewhere in around there. He says that the father had told him that there will be military tribunals. And the feather in our cap here, and I mean ours as a group, because we're all part of a group. Many of my listeners have been with me for the entire 19 years. We have been talking about military tribunals since the latter part of 2009 into 2010. So it's beautiful in the sense that in the early days of this program, we talked about the elect and what's the purpose of the elect in the latter days, and the remnant. It's kind of synonymous. So the remnant / elect in the latter days were the avant-garde of identity. We were the ones who figured out who's who in the zoo up front. We call it the identity message because it correctly identifies the people spoken of in the Bible. And if you can't tell who's who in the Bible, how in the world do you figure out what it's trying to say? You have to know who's who. So we figured it out many, many years ago, and I stood on the shoulders of many giants like Bertrand Comparé and E. Raymond Capt and Dr. Barry Fell, Wesley Swift, Pastor Pete Peters, Art Jones. Bob Jones actually has done quite a bit of good work as well, even though I could never figure out why he was associated with James Wickstrom. And same thing with Colonel Francis Farrell, as well as Colonel Gale, both United States military and colonels, both of them identity and great teachers. Couldn't understand why they didn't see through Wickstrom. But then again, many of us had to take a up-close and personal visit to see his real side, and a lot of these people apparently haven't spent time around the actual individual. He's in a very warm place right now. So great teachers, again, that we all stand on and we add to it. And when you know when you know this message, then you're going to be far ahead of the herd, so to speak. So again, we here on the radio show and at the live events that we attended, we've been talking about the military having to take part in the restoration of things since 2010. Now, why 2010? I can't take credit for that. I received a letter that was sent around the internet at that time, written by a Scotsman. I think it's McIntyre, but I can't remember for sure. But a Scotsman had written a very, very good article of why a military coup was absolutely necessary to save the United States. And when you talk about saving the United States, you're talking about saving the world, actually. Because if the United States goes, so goes the rest of the world. Okay. Anyway, he wrote this article. He was a military man himself. And he basically said, if for no other reason, the military must at some point defend itself. Because the what we call the deep state today, or the Jewish cabal, was using our military basically as a living sledgehammer to foment war, regime change, and all this other stuff all over the earth, and it was our military who were doing the fighting and the dying. So at some point, the military has to perform self-defense and at the same time save this nation. The corruption had reached that level. The communists, the Jewish communists, had infiltrated at all levels. And so the military at some point has to step in, because they have corrupted the means of keeping our ship of state upright, which is the court system, the justice system. They had put their people in key positions so that the court system worked against the American people, not for them. I remember my father, when he was still living, was invited to go to, I believe it was Harvard. And he was there with a group of men, businessmen, to speak and to learn. And he told me, he says, Dan, did you know that over 50% of the freshman class that comes into Harvard every year is Jewish? And I said, no, I didn't know that. He goes, yeah. He goes, kind of interesting. He goes, I thought you might be interested in knowing that. I said, 50%. So, and most of the law schools are the same way. Now, why would less than 2% of our population be over 50% of the freshmen going into your major law schools? Well, exactly for the reason I've just stated. So they could get in there and subvert it. Why do you find Jews at the top of the major media? Excuse me. Like CNN, the top three levels of CNN, it's came out, there's a meme out there that has pictures of the people at the top three management levels of CNN. And I believe it's somewhere close to 50 people. Every one of them, every single one of them is Jewish. And again, do you think that's a coincidence? Do you believe in coincidences, as Q says? Got a little bit of a stopped up head today, so excuse me there. So they corrupted the means to fix the problems, and therefore it demands a military step in at some point, as long as it's good military. That's been the major concern of patriots, is who's behind the military coups? Are they good guys or bad guys? Because if the American people trumpet and support the idea of tribunals, you have to remember, tribunals can go either way. That's why I'm not taking the ammunition out of my weapons. Not yet. Not yet. There's still too many Jews in powerful positions. There's still too much deception that's possible. And so, therefore, my uniform, my combat boots, my combat knife, and my weapons remain at the ready. As our ancestors called themselves Minutemen, because General Washington and the leaders, who were pastors, by the way, of the American Revolution, many pastors were in charge of militia units. And the church was where the militia would store their weapons and their ammunition. And the preacher, of course, was the leader. So you stand at the ready, and General Washington and the other leaders of our military at that time said that the men should be ready to leave on a 3-minute notice. Now, you got to remember, the militiamen of 1775 didn't carry into the field near what we carry today, and they were more capable of living off the land than we are today. So what they had to get ready to take was primarily a little mess kit, a canteen, maybe a couple days worth of hardtack and biscuits, a musket, black powder, patches, and musket balls. That's pretty much all they had to do, besides getting dressed, of course. Today, you got a little bit more gear to carry if you're the average militiaman today, so it might take you more than 3 minutes. But the point of it is that you have to be ready to go within minutes, not hours. So therefore, minute men. So military tribunals. We've been talking about it here in our forums for a long time. The rest of the world is catching up. So hallelujah to that. Yahweh said that his elect, his remnant, would be the avant-garde, the point men for this movement. I believe that's where we're at. We're actually seeing it coming to pass. Praise Yahweh for that. Many of us feel like we've been beating our heads against the wall for an awful long time and not really accomplishing a whole lot. And now we're seeing many of the topics that we've talked about for some cases decades is now coming through the alternative media and reaching many, many millions of people. And so it doesn't have to come straight from us. As long as Yahweh's truth gets out there, that's the main thing. Now, something else that Greg and Mark were talking about in the interview that I thought was very interesting. How many times have we talked about the verses in the Bible that say that at one point Yahweh is going to expose these lying preachers in these mainstream churches, including the Roman Catholic? How many times have we talked about that here? Many times. It's in the scripture. And it says that in that day, their own parents will help to hunt them down. Now, this is interesting. Mark and Greg, again, that's Mark Taylor, the fireman from Orlando, and Greg Hunter. Mark Taylor talked about the fact that there is a list called the Clergy Response Team that's been working with the shadow government for many years. They have a list of the names of the clergymen. These clergymen, basically, in order to get delicacies from the beast, meaning favors from this cabal, these clergymen were given a manual on how to handle their congregations, and in return for guarantees and perks from the shadow government, these clergymen agreed to turn over the records of their congregations. In essence, leading their flocks to the slaughter. Because the deep state planned for all of us to be rounded up and put in FEMA camps and there to be separated and sorted, and of course the worst of us to be immediately just executed. And I'm on that list, I know that. It's called the Red List. I've known that for a long time. And some of the other best people that I know are probably on that list as well. They're not even going to try to re-educate us or to intimidate us. They're just simply going to put a bullet in us, much like they did our Russian cousins 100 years ago during the Russian rebellion of the Jews. Let's stop calling it a Russian revolution because, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, it wasn't a Russian revolution. It was a revolution in Russia, but there were no Russians involved. It was a Bolshevik revolution, and the Bolsheviks were Jews. And typical of Jews, they used the term Bolshevik, which in Russian means majority, to try to convince the Russian people that they represented the majority of Russians, the workers and peasants, etc., when in fact they were a very tiny minority. You know what's ironic is they don't change their modus operandi, these Jews. What is the mainstream, lamestream communist fake news doing today? The talking heads like Hillary, a Jew, Pelosi, a Jew, Feinstein, a Jew, Schumer, a Jew, and a whole host of others. What are they doing with their Twitter tweets and in their interviews on mainstream media? But they're saying exactly the same thing, that Trump and his deplorables, they're still calling us deplorables, are but a minority. A sick and demented minority. We must rise up and save America. That's what these bastards are saying. It cracks me up. If you're awake at all and you listen to what these demagogues are saying, it is ludicrous beyond belief. It's called chutzpah in their Yiddish language, not ancient Hebrew. Don't you confuse them now. But Yiddish, their current guttural, mostly ancient German language. Chutzpah, it means hubris in English, or gall. They've got a lot of gall, meaning they've got a lot of pretentiousness about them to say what they're saying. So, again, nothing new under the sun, as King Solomon said. These Jews, when their lips are moving, as Christ told us in John chapter 8 and elsewhere, when their lips are moving, they're lying. All right? You do know that, I hope. They couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. So, very interesting that the preachers, we now have evidence that the mainstream preachers, and now you know why they keep pushing this, don't get involved in politics, don't run for election. A good Christian should just sit in the pew and hand in the money every Sunday. A good Christian shouldn't even talk about politics, shouldn't support it, shouldn't even talk. Well, first of all, they're 501c3s, which is an IRS corporation, most of these mainstream churches. And under the edicts of 501c3, they're not allowed to promote candidates or even speak about candidates or issues. They have to be apolitical. Well, guess what? Where in the Bible does it say to be apolitical, meaning have nothing to do with the running of your nation? Where does it say that? Where did Christ and Yahweh tell us to sit back on our asses and not get involved? Where does it say that? I'm still waiting. 19 years I've been asking the listeners to please inform me where I'm wrong. I wish I was wrong. I've said that for 19 years. I wish I was wrong about all this. I wish I was delusional. And all you had to do is give me a lobotomy and put me away, and all this would go away, because this is just all a figment of Dan's imagination. But you know what? Yahweh has had me sitting here talking to you for 19 years. 19 years! And I'm still here. And the things that we've talked about, like I said, even back in 2009, are now commonly talked about 9 years later. You had a 9-year head start, folks, if you were listening to the broadcast. 9 years. We talked about the fact to be prepared for a 3 to 6 month staying in your home. How many years have we been talking about that? Now it's mainstream. And when I say mainstream, I'm talking about the alternative media, not the communist news networks. Those are not even media. Those are simply propaganda machines. That's all. So now the mainstream has become the truth warriors on BitChute and Steemit and YouTube, and now we've got Real.Video TV. Jimmy has his Bank versus UTV, a great platform. Why don't we get more people speaking out? More live shows. Jimmy is certainly capable there with his tons of equipment and knowledge. Get more people speaking truth. This is a team effort, folks. But I was tickled when I was watching and listening to that interview because of how many things we have talked about for so long, and now it's being spoken of openly. Now, granted, Mark and Greg are still behind the learning curve as far as figuring out who Israel is and who the Jews are. How could guys be so gifted and smart and not figure that out at this point in time? That part, I'm not quite sure why Father has not opened their eyes to that. I tried to contact Mark Taylor and fill him in on that, but to no avail. So if he wants them to open their eyes, he'll have to do it through another venue rather than us. But they need to come to grips with who true Israel is and who this bastard nation over there full of vipers, liars, murderers, thieves, rapists, child traffickers, child rapists. That's what the Jews are. The people called Jews today, okay, not the people from the Bible. They were Judahites, not Jews. They were members of the tribe of Judah, who were part of the 12 tribes that became the European peoples. That's just been established in so many different ways, it's just unbelievable. How anybody could not know that truth today, I don't know. You just literally have to sear your conscience. Where do we read that? Oh, it's in the Bible, that's right. They have seared consciences. And if you're not sure what searing is, think back in the days of the Civil War and before in the Revolutionary War. Many times a man would be wounded on the battlefield and taken back to the tents to be worked on, and he would have a wound that would not stop bleeding. And they would take a red-hot iron out of the campfire, and they would lay that hot iron on that flesh and sear it, literally cause it to crust over to stop the bleeding. I'd imagine that was damn painful. But dying was not an option. So searing means to form a hard crust, almost like a scab, over a wound to stop the bleeding. So when he says your consciences are seared, it means we have people today who are so full of themselves, who think they know everything, that they don't allow a new thought to come in. Oh, who does that sound like? Oh, our rabbis, the three rabbis. And you know who I'm talking about. Okay? You have seared consciences. You won't take in any new concepts. You've already figured it all out. Yahweh can't deal with you. Really? I don't know. The Holy Spirit, to me, is real time. There isn't a day of my life that I haven't learned something new. I don't know about you folks, but I consider 65 years of learning to be pretty good. Jimmy's put up here, it's cauterized the wound. That's the technical term for it, cauterizing the wound. And searing is another name for it as well. So the Bible, once again, is proven to be true, all right? But the list of the clergymen, the fact that the government has that list and will not release it. Mark and Greg were talking about that. Why won't the government release it? Because the congregations would probably hunt them down and lynch them, hang them. Does that sound like even their own parents will assist in hunting them down? When they find out the treason? You know, Q refers to be careful who you trust. and has been for many months now. That was our wake-up call that some of the people in positions that you should be able to trust are actually our enemies. And it was referred to that the clergy is among that. And it's also beautiful that the Vatican is being exposed as a world leader in child trafficking. And that's not the only thing, by the way. Trafficking and murder of children. And it's not just at the Vatican either. It's the whole damn church. It's corrupt from get-go. And really, it's based on a lie anyway, from the start. I've asked Catholic friends of mine that for years. I said, you know, you call the Pope the Vicar of Christ. What's Christ like about a Pope? Can you explain that to me, please? I said, he lives in a mansion. He's catered to day in and day out. He wears garments that are extremely extravagant and expensive. He walks around with a yarmulke on his head like a Jew. Of course, the Jews created the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church then created Mohammedism. All roads lead to Rome, don't they? And so why did they do that? To control the people. The Jews say it in their own writings. How do you control the people? Because you control the opposition. Did you ever notice that the fake news always gives opinions on both sides of an issue? And do you believe it's just a coincidence that both sides are represented by Jews? Whenever they wanted to talk about gun rights and all that, who would they put up there? Jews for the preservation of firearms. Well, why didn't you talk to Gun Owners of America? Can't think of his name now. But the gentleman over there, why didn't you talk to him or some other Christian? Oh, no, we had to listen to the Jews for preservation of gun rights. It's always a Jew on both sides of every issue. Well, that's how you control opposition. So if you want to keep the people who know within their hearts that they need to worship the living God, they need to have some relationship with him. How do you control that group of sheep? Because then you have what they call organized. Do you ever notice the Jews always want things organized? Who do you think brought corporations into existence and all these conglomerations and mergers? Because they want it centralized, because there's so few of them. They're a sickly people. They're never more than just a few percent. They're not a prolific race. They're not a healthy people. So they got to figure out a way that the very few of them can control the majority, and that's through centralization. So how do you centralize religion? You create the major religions right from the beginning. You create the doctrines. You create the texts. Oh, what a wonderful plan. What a wonderful plan. It's starting to fall apart. The truth of the Jews behind the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits. The fact that the Jews were behind the mainstream denominations through this clergy response team and working with the deep state. The Jews were probably behind the movement to get all preachers to be seminary trained. How many of you fell for that one? Well, our preacher, he's got to come with a seminary degree. Really? Why? I thought the anointing came from Father. I know mine did. I wouldn't step foot in a seminary. And the people that I've talked to over the years that came to know this message, including Pastor Larry Blanchard that I spoke of earlier, they were all seminary trained. They were all ordained pastors. And they came to know this truth and left that Baal worshiping organization. It's all coming to pass, folks. It's all coming to pass. So we have hit lists, if you want to call them that, of these preachers on the clergy response team. So the deep state, the Jewish deep state, pulled in the so-called preachers. Again, who should you be able to trust? Well, you would think you could trust your preacher, right? No, wrong. You would think you could trust your government officials? Wrong. You think you can trust your local banker? Wrong. You think you could trust the lawyers? No, they've taken an oath to the bar, and they will not do anything to upset the system. No lawyer will do that. That's why they have to pass the bar. That's what you see. Again, you swearing a loyalty. What does Father say about serving two masters? You can't do it, can you? No, you're going to love the one and hate the other one. Well, you're supposed to love our Father Yahweh. That's your master in all things. It doesn't matter what your vocation is, your job, your business, your career. It doesn't matter. You're supposed to be a child of the living God. You're supposed to uphold his standards. But if you take an oath to a secret society, or in the case of lawyers, to the bar, in order to have a, quote, license, why do I need a license to represent somebody? It's just a matter of two parties in disagreement appearing before a judge, who's a referee. He's not the actual judge. He's a referee. The jury, made up of my peers, do the judging. That's the way it's supposed to work, because that goes back to biblical times. You can appear with anybody you want. You can be not represented, but have counsel. That's what it used to be called. Today they call it representation, because once you sign the lawyer up, he now has a power of attorney over you. He can accept an agreement with the court that you might detest. Or didn't you know that? Yeah, as soon as you say he's your, quote, representative. See, in the old days, when the Constitution was written, it said that you could have a counsel of your choice. Now, what does the lying Jews say today? Well, that meant you had to have a lawyer of your choice. No, that's not what it said. Counsel. I might go into court and say the Holy Spirit's my counsel. Or I might say it's my neighbor Joe, who studied constitutional law. Or Chris Ann Hall, here in Central Florida, is a constitutional expert. It could be anybody of my choosing. Why does it have to be one of your bar members? Oh, that's right, because the Jews want control. Because with that control, they can corrupt the whole system. And that's exactly what happens. Who do you think has disenfranchised the men of this world? The white men. Particularly, the court system, and I see here Magnum 44 has joined us, and he could tell you all about how that thing works. Also, Gary out there in San Diego, and maybe later on here we'll open it up if they want to join us in a discussion. But I'm going to tell you something: the cards are stacked against you in a Jew-controlled system because they hate white people, and most of all, they hate white men, and most of all, they hate white men believers in the living God, because you are their enemy. That's why they try everything they can to suppress and disenfranchise the white man, especially the believer, because they know that's where their end comes from, the remnant of our people. Praise Yahweh. Some of the other things being talked about is the financial system. Some people say it's going to crash. I don't believe it's going to crash. So if you think that, you know, everything's going to vaporize, we'll have no way to buy anything. No, that's not going to happen. However, it will be different, because what you have today is a Jewish creation through the Federal Reserve. And isn't it interesting that the chairman of the Fed is always a Jew? Isn't that amazing? Just a coincidence, I'm sure. Just a coincidence. So anyway, that system's going to go away. The whole world is already transferring over to gold-backed currencies. Our Constitution required us to have a gold-backed or silver-backed currency. Required it. That requirement's still there. So how did these liars and perverts in Washington get around that? They just ignored it and did whatever they want to do. That's exactly what Jews do. Jews can't be hampered with your Christian law. They're going to do whatever they want to do, basically daring you to do anything about it. That's why they had to take over the court system, because that's where your grievances are aired, are they not? They took control of the voting through the control of the computers. These Diebold and all these companies, go do the checking. They're all leading back to Jewish shekels and the Mossad, okay? We have been fooled, fooled, fooled. Who do you think you can trust? The local ballot box. No, you couldn't. Joseph Stalin, the Jew leader of Russia during the Jewish massacre of the white Russians, the white Christian Russians, he said it. The power is not in casting a vote. The power is in counting the votes. Even Joseph Stalin knew that. And so did the Jews here in America. They want you to believe that your power is in casting a vote. The whole time they're laughing at the synagogue because they control the machines that count the votes. Basically, their boy will always get in, or girl, or tranny, whichever. I mean, tranny's everywhere today. So if you get a chance, go to the American Intelligence Media YouTube channel and check out their list. You might have to pause it if you're going to try to write it down because they move through it fairly quick. But just scan down through the names of people that are on the list to be indicted. And, of course, the Pope being on there is huge, and it's about time. So I'm saying hallelujah. This is stuff we've talked about for years, folks, so this is a great time to be alive, not a time to shirk our duties or shirk our responsibilities. I started talking about Obadiah 18 and Ezekiel 25 because they both refer to the fact that in the end, these Zionist cabal members are going to be exposed for who they are and destroyed. According to the Bible, both of these say destroyed. Let me go ahead and read. I'll read the Ezekiel one here first. And I will lay my vengeance, that's exactly what needs to happen, vengeance against Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel. So right there's your answer for the people that say in the churches, well, we got to wait for the rapture because, you know, the rapture is going to take us away. Really? Let me know how that works out for you, pal, as you're sitting in that pew when they're dragging all of you off to the FEMA camps. Or they set your church on fire like they did in Russia, and sometimes with the parishioners inside, or they take the preachers to the front doors of the church and put his hands in there and slam the big heavy doors against it to break all of his fingers. That's what the Russians did. I shouldn't say Russians, because they weren't Russians. They were Bolsheviks, which are Jews, living in Russia, wearing Russian uniforms, but they are not of us. Wolves in sheep's clothing. That's why Yahweh says here, my vengeance will be upon Edom by the hand of my people, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. And they, which is the Edomites, shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. Obadiah at verse 18 just backs it up. Jacob Israel will be a flame and a fire, and Edom will be as stubble. We're also going to read in the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel or Ya'al in Hebrew. We're going to read in there a little bit about this same thing. So another triple reference to the fact that Jacob, Israel, that's you and me, the white races, will be the flame and the fire that will bring down these Edom, Esau folks. Also want to remind you to contact me through the website, PastorDan.net, if you need a list of the what I consider some of the best YouTube channels out there for staying on top of what's happening. It's getting to be a fairly long list, but each one of these people do a very, very good job. Again, I'm not saying perfect, because even Mark Taylor and Greg Hunter, great guys, good hearts, but they sort of get off the mark when it comes to that bastard nation over there. They're still in the Zionist Christian phase when it comes to that. Even though they'll admit the Mossad is involved and the Zionists are not good, but they still want to whitewash a portion of Judaism, and the scriptures don't whitewash any of it. As I said, I've given you two biblical references that says Edom, Esau. It doesn't say part of them. Doesn't say a portion of them. It says all of them, because they're Canaanites. And our ancestors were to destroy the Canaanites many thousands of years ago. Well, 5,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago. And we didn't do it. And so that Canaanite blood is as the scripture says, a prick and a thorn in our sides. If you've ever fallen into a rose bush like I did on the farm more than once playing baseball and ran and didn't watch where I was going and run into a big old thorny bush, that hurts. That hurts a lot. And so they have hurt us a lot. They have not destroyed us. We're still here. But they have hurt a lot. And it's now being exposed and brought out into the open. And praise Yahweh. He told us that in the book of Revelation, didn't he? And in the other chapters where it said that the things that have been hidden and hidden from our view and our knowledge will become known. The deep state is in a panic right now, as you can see from the ridiculous things they're saying in, both on Tel-Eye Vision, Talmud Vision, and over radio and over social media. They're just coming unhinged. They're just ridiculous. But they're desperate. They're desperate. They're trying to get the unthinking out there to rise up as a basically an army against us. It's not going to work. First of all, the people that they're doing that to are not your best, not your sharpest tools in the shed. And so they're not going to figure this thing out. And there are too many patriots who are awake now. And they're not going to get our weapons. That's the difference between us and our Russian cousins. They didn't know about the Red Menace that George Patton and Douglas MacArthur and many other leaders of our military, the Red Scourge, the Red Menace, meaning the communist Jew. They didn't know, and they were disarmed. And they suffered greatly by the tens and tens and tens of millions of innocent men, women, and children murdered, tortured, raped, burned, dismembered in hideous, hideous ways. I've read way too many accounts, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn can tell you about it. You need to wake up, people. Our Russian cousins have suffered tremendously under these creatures. They're not human. They're creatures. Even the Book of John in the original Greek language used the Greek terms that refer to the Jews and their kind as springing from an alien race. Alien. They may have arms and legs like you and me, but that's the extent of it. There's no heart. There's no soul. There's no compassion. There's no empathy. No, no, no. Now, they did bring out the fact that China is our biggest enemy at this time, not Russia. So the Jews and the media want you to be focused on Russia, but it's actually China that we should be watching out for. China has also been known to steal many of our intellectual property rights and our patents, not the Russians. Also, I want to remind you that you are to be doers and not hearers of the word. You don't get it. You don't get a pass just knowing the truth, folks. You're supposed to act upon it. It came out in one of the interviews that America now is the number one energy producer in the world. Some of our listeners out there in Texas have been telling me about all of the oil production equipment that's all of a sudden showing up, which is a double witness to what they were saying in the interview. So apparently oil production is coming back to America. We never were supposed to be dependent on foreign oil, never. As the preacher Lindsey Williams was up on the pipeline or up on the North Slope of Alaska when the Exxon and the other companies discovered the largest oil cache in the world, huge. And that was back in the 1970s. Remember when we were spending all that tax money? Yeah, tax money now to go up there and find this oil. They found it. They were celebrating. I've read Lindsey Williams' books, so I know what he says happened. They were celebrating, popping champagne. The words by the Exxon executives and the researchers and drillers that were up there was they were shouting for joy because with that discovery, America was oil independent. Now, the truth of it is we were oil independent before Alaska. Oklahoma and areas of Central America have more oil under them than Saudi Arabia. But even with that being hidden, Prudhoe Bay, and thank you, Bubby, Prudhoe Bay was to set us free. And I remember I was in the military when that discovery was made. And that's what everybody was saying for about 24 hours. Just like 9/11, everybody talked about the planes not having windows and other anomalies. Only in the first 24 hours. Oklahoma City, I remember, in the first 24 hours talking about multiple explosions and things didn't seem right. Only for 24 hours, because after that, the Jewish control of the flow of information took over. And so you never heard it again. So the same way, same way. Within 24 hours, they capped all of the wells, packed up their gear, and left. And the Exxon executive, who has now passed over, told Lindsey Williams, because Lindsey went into his office and said, "Why? I thought we were here to make America oil independent." And the executive looked at him and said, "If you know what's good for you, Lindsey, you'll keep your mouth shut. And let me tell you what it's all about. One word, control. How do you control people? One way, of course, is controlling the information. Jews have been doing that really well for a long time, haven't they? Number two, you control energy. Why do you think they want you all tied into the grid? Why do you think they want you to all have smart meters on your house? You control the energy. And thirdly will be what? Control the food. If you control those three, who's going to stand against you? Why do you think Monsanto, obviously a Jewish organization, and it's been proven, Monsanto would spend millions of dollars to figure out how to produce seed that will not replicate. In other words, you plant your corn like we used to do on the farm, and every farmer would take some of his corn, his best corn, and would create seed corn. Every farmer knew that you have to take a certain portion of your crop and create seed for the next crop. You can't eat it all. So we used to go through and pick the best ears. And that would be ground down to become the seed for the next planting. Monsanto spent all that money to figure out how to make plants that don't produce seeds that grow. You got an ear of corn, but the seed is sterile. It will not produce another plant. Why would you spend millions of dollars to figure out how to undo what Yahweh has given us? Why? Well, just like the executive told Lindsey Williams, control. Everything you see is about control. It's not about what's right for us. It's not about preserving Yahweh's precious world that we live in, this beautiful earth that we live on and in under the dome. My opinion, take it for what it's worth. I'll trust my ancestors and the scriptures before I'll trust any government agency. Let's just put it that way. All right? And if I'm wrong for that, I'll take it. I'll stand before the Father. I got no shame in the fact that I'll put my faith in Him, the written word, and my own senses, and my complete distrust of any centralized, anything centralized. Can't trust it. Can't trust it. Now, the other good news, it's nice to finally get to talk about some good news. Then we'll open up the mic here. But some other good news is that the social media giants, Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, are under investigation for, what do you want to call it, copyright, or not copyright, but what did they used to call it back in the days? They would bust them up, monopolies. And the fact that they have received government money. That means you and I own them, folks. You and I own them. And they turned around and did what to, oh, that's right, but they're headed up by who? Jews, like Mark Zuckerberg and all the rest of the scum at the top. Non-white, non-American, and we wonder why they have no loyalty to us. They're not of us, folks. Why would they hold allegiance to white people who founded this country, established the Constitution and our laws, even back to the common law, which comes from England? That's all white. That's white Christian folks. Why do you think Jews and Indians and the rest of the muck at the top of these social media giants would adhere to any of our cultural beliefs and our standards? Why? What makes you people think that? When the scripture makes it very clear in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you don't allow an alien. Or didn't your preacher tell you about that? Oh, the same preacher that's on the list of the clergy response team. How about that? Maybe he was told not to tell you about that. Do you ever think about that? He's supposed to go along with the multiculturalism and the diversity lie. Diversity makes you strong when the Bible says just the opposite. The very word nation says just the opposite. If you people would ever dust off that dictionary, you know, the one on the bookshelf right next to the Bible with all the dust on it because you never look at it and you wonder why you're being deceived. If you looked up in a good Webster's exhaustive dictionary, the word nation, you'll find out it's a group of people living in a common area that share the following in common, which means every member of that, quote, nation have these things in common. Number one, race. Number two, language. Number three, religion. Number four, customs. Number five, heritage. Number six, culture. Take a look at our white nations today. Do you see any of those things in common with the people within the country? No, you don't. You're not a nation. You cease to be a nation. You are polluted. You are adulterated. You can't even keep that biblical command correct. One of our listeners sent me a note recently that they were led to Joel chapter 2, starting in chapter 2. Joel's only four chapters. And I thought I'd share it with you because there's some very interesting things in light of what we just talked about in Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That's us. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain, another reference to Jacob Israel. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes, for it is close at hand. Hallelujah. I think it is. Amen. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now remember, in Aramaic, which is a derivative of Hebrew, there's a lot of idiomatic expressions. When it says things like a day of clouds and thick darkness, it's not talking about the weather. It's talking about ignorance, particularly ignorance of Yahweh and his law. As the dawn spreading on the mountains, a great and strong people, there has never been the like. Never will there be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them. talking about our people, folks. Now, what did we just talk about here in Ezekiel and especially in Obadiah? A fire. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The stubble. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. It's a consuming fire. Yes, and no one has escaped them. Their appearance is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so do they run. Stop for a minute. Reminds me of when we folks got together, we men got together up in Tampa, we referred to ourselves as the white stallions. Just a little side note. Verse 5, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains do they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble. Uh-oh, we've got three references to stubble being devoured by our people. As a strong people set in battle array. Are you paying attention, men? At their presence, the people are in anguish. All faces have grown pale. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like warriors. They each march in this line, in his line, and they don't swerve off course. Neither does one jostle another. They march everyone in his path, and they burst through the defenses and do not break ranks. That's our people. You see, they've had us divided on every issue you can imagine. And let me, again, point out to the fact of my being upset with the folks at EFR, Eurofolk Radio. Why was I upset? Because we were breaking ranks over things that we shouldn't have broken ranks over. One of them was censorship and the fact that who I had as a guest and the things we talked about. They didn't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to do that. And it shows to me a sign of imperfection in our people. You can't unify and go to the battlefield with people who are going to argue over minutia. And it is minutia. Sorry, but you can't do that. You have to walk in one accord. You have to walk in agreement. And I'm not going to go to the battlefield with those that are going to argue over things that you don't have a right to argue over. You can disagree, but you can't argue. You can't break fellowship over that sort of thing. And that was my biggest contention. I didn't care that they didn't agree with me. I never asked anybody to agree with me. I do disagree with the name-calling and accusations, etc., and even lies that are being told. Verse 9, they rush on the city, they run on the wall, they climb up into the houses, they enter in at the windows like thieves. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withhold their shining. Yahweh thunders his voice before his army, for his forces are very great, for he is strong who obeys his command. Who's strong? We are. Why? We obey his commands. It's as simple as that, folks. For the day of Yahweh is great and very awesome, and who can endure it? Yet even now, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Tear your heart and not your garments. I might also add, circumcise your heart and not your privates. Mutilation is not what Yahweh has ever wanted from us. And turn to Yahweh, your Elohim God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering to Yahweh, your Elohim God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the elders. Gather the children and those who nurse from breasts. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her room. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, Yahweh, and do not give your heritage to reproach that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then Yahweh was jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Yahweh answered his people, "Behold, I will send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations." You can finish the rest of it if you want. The point of it is, it was a double witness to what we've talked about for so many times. We are the flame and the fire. You and I are, folks. Now, that doesn't mean Yahweh can't send help. That doesn't mean there isn't an army of heavenly hosts over the on the other side of that firmament waiting to come down here. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you and I are involved. We don't have a right to just sit here on our asses and not do anything. Be ready for the fight, folks. We've talked about that for a very, very long time. All right, I'm going to start out with Jimmy, then Magnum. I'll get you if you want to have something to say, but we'll start with Jimmy here at Bank Versus UTV. Welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Good morning, Dan, and good morning to all on this lovely, lovely, lovely day here in Tampa. Just a very clear morning, beautiful sky, low chemtrails. But, you know, Dan, as you know, I take some brief notes for commentary as you do your opening statement, and I think Joel is the so parallel. You know, you have given 19-plus years of your time to do your radio shows. I don't know what got me into it in 2009 with Hut Radio, but, well, actually, I do know. It was a calling, and it was laid on my heart, and since then, I have not missed a day. And it's a labor of love, and it is the educating of people. And I think the verses in Joel are so mind-opening or obvious that we have been called to do what we're doing. And I just pray that more people would participate with us. And I liked your idea. You know, we used to do after show calls and open up the mic. I think my longest show was with Becky Williams, which was running for governor of Texas. We went 18 hours, Dan, 18 hours on a call where we had people calling in, and we would just let them, unless they were trolls or, you know, were just trying to, you know, egotistical. I'm like you, Dan. Listen, disagree, debate, because out of that typically will emerge a solution. But we don't have time to be fighting amongst ourselves. Our groups are so fragile in the first place with other things going on, losing people to death, to cancer, to economic downfalls. Ron Rack, one of our loyal listeners, has just got out of the hospital with some kind of very strange infection in his foot, so he's kind of out of play right now. Folks, it's time to embrace each other and stick together, because there is something coming. And I agree with Dan, the economic collapse is not going to be as said. There is going to be, in my opinion, a drastic shift in the way we do things, right down to supplies, you know, in the attempt to, what's the word I'm looking for, streamline the delivery process. The industry came up with what's called on-demand, or what is it, Dan? Not on demand. Anyway, it's to eliminate the need for warehousing and such. Just in time deliveries. That's it.
Just in time.
I'm an old white guy, but my brain still works. Anyway, I think that very efficiency move in the logistics of our goods and services may be one thing to keep an eye on, which is back to what I lecture on. Get a couple extra cans of beans and rice and things, and water, especially. Water is, fairly affordable. You can get a gallon jug of spring water, if it's really what's in there, for 70 cents. So take $8 and get 10, and get 10 this week, and get 10 next week. Anyway, but Dan, to circle back, you bringing up the book of Joel, I think, was very appropriate, and I put a couple of passages in that you were reading. But folks, we need to go back to the human owner's manual called the Bible. It is full of what we're seeing here today, Dan. And thanks for giving me a couple of minutes to say good morning.
Absolutely, Jimmy. And again, shout out to your audience out there. Hope everybody is in good shape and preparing for what we're coming into. Let me just make a comment here, and then I'll get Magnum. You talked about just in time and how the enemy has worked like leaven. You know, we were told to beware the leaven of the Pharisees in Romans and in Luke. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which works just like leaven does in bread dough. And I know that for a fact because my mom used to make homemade bread in the kitchen. I'd walk in just as she was putting the cake of yeast, some of the yeast into the dough. And I asked her about it. What's that going to do? And she says, that's how you raise the dough. So she'd put in maybe 3 inches of dough at the bottom of this big porcelain kettle. And hours later, that dough was running out over the top of that kettle. And that's what she would bake and make the bread with. So that principle of yeast stuck and how a little bit of yeast will work its way through the whole lump, just like the Bible says. Well, how did the Jews work their poison in our society? Just in time is another Zionist concept, because it took away the fact that we used to warehouse, which is a biblical precept. Now, how does that affect us? Well, let me give you another personal example. I worked in the power industry. I started out in Toledo Edison, working at the coal-fired plants, and at that time, Toledo Edison was in the top 10, not 10%, top 10 utilities in America. And why was that? Because their runtime was so close to perfection, it was unbelievable. Now, again, why did Yahweh give me this opportunity to learn this? Because of what we're talking about right now. I watched a utility with these old crusty coal-fired furnaces and turbines, but the men that I trained under were some of the best preventative maintenance people I had ever worked with. Almost every working hour was in preventative maintenance, not fixing things that broke. It was taking things that still worked off the wall, take it back to the shop, tear it apart, clean it, put brand new parts in it, put it back on the wall, and you wouldn't touch it again for 10 years. That's how long some of the pneumatic equipment, Bailey particularly, equipment would last. 10 years sitting on that wall working to perfection because we put good parts in them, American-made parts. We knew what we were doing. We were professionals. We tuned them. We perfected our calibration methods. So every day was spent in preventative type maintenance. And what did that require? It required a warehouse with spare parts so we could go down to the storeroom and get what we needed to fix that equipment. Then came the 1970s, and somebody came up with this crap just in time. Now, how did they force people like Toledo Edison to go into this completely different method of doing maintenance? They changed the tax laws. They didn't win this debate in open debate with engineers and professionals that could tell you that this is not a good way to do business. We've done it for a very long time, the biblical way, the common sense way, the American way. We have warehouses full of spare parts so that when our men need them to keep the plant running, they just walk out to the storeroom and get it. Instead, they shut the warehouses down. Now you have maybe one central warehouse many miles, sometimes states away, and you have to hope that they have the part and can get it to you by truck or plane. Well, how did they get us to buy into this again? They changed the tax laws to where the warehouses were being taxed on their inventory every year. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that year after year, you're paying for parts that are just sitting there. It's costing you more than the cost of the parts. So it's a business decision. But the problem was, why didn't the corporations, oh, wait a minute, corporations, oh, okay. Why didn't the corporations fight this on the basis that you don't have the right to make tax law that affects these kind of things? Government uses taxation to control us, and there's a good case in point.
You nailed it, and again, it's cost, and you know, I have a business mind, and I feather costs. You know, I coined the phrase, or I adopted, if someone did coin it, you know, being frugal is the new smart. But that's how I run my data center here. I spend more time in preventative measures than I do fixing, because if something fails through power surge, lightning strike, just wear and tear, I can roll another one in, unplug the old, plug in the new, and to go back to what you're saying, I have a mini warehouse here of computer parts and other things. And I used to have this wish in which Yahweh granted me about 10 years ago. I'd like to live in a warehouse where if I need something, I just go get it off the shelf. And that's the way, the reason I interrupted, and thank you, is you being in the Air Force, you probably have knowledge now that we have air mechanics actually pulling parts off other planes to keep certain planes running. Is that true?
Yeah, it's called cannibalization, and because we couldn't get parts, we would cannibalize. We did it in the power industry after this just-in-time thing would happen, because you'd find out that either the part wasn't available. In some cases, they'd have to put the order in over in Japan and wait for Japan to make a part, such as a large transformer or something like that.
Well,
and
that was my other thing. It was the power companies now with this speculation on EMP. Even some friends I have in the industry, which are not near as knowledgeable in that industry as you are, but they're like, Jim, you know, we only have so many of these huge transformers, and if the EMP, like it did, back in the 50s, where it fried all the telegraph wires and wires were catching on fire, these transformers, I'm told, are made in Germany, and the lead time, the wait time, could be up to 10 years. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about 10 years, but we don't make hardly any of the transformers, and we make no large steam turbine parts in America anymore. And all of your power plants run by what they call large steam turbines. I do know for a fact that the big power transformers have a two-year lead time, and they are all produced overseas, and they're produced predominantly in Japan, not Germany. Some of the stuff is made in Germany. Some of our turbine parts and all are made in Germany. But as far as I know, the transformers that we use today, when I left the industry, were being made in Japan. So the point of it is, though, you're relying on a foreign country for major components to your electrical grid. Now, how the hell is that smart? That's not smart.
Why, exactly. I would not be a responsible vendor if I didn't have spare parts on the shelf. I could not celebrate, and I'm not gloating here, but I have 99.99999% uptime for my clients and my little cloud system I run here, and it would be irresponsible for me to not have spare power supplies, network cards, blades, you know, and as far as me having to pay tax on dormant inventory, I did have to battle that myself. I've purchased it. I've paid either sales tax or business-to-business tax exempt. And how dare you come in and even get in my business? And don't get me going, because I'm in Twitter jail. We had a similar little soiree last night with my 100 followers that agreed. And, of course, you know, I'm homophobic, I'm crazy, I need to get on my meds and all that, that funny stuff. But you know what, and in closing on that thread and from my rant, being smart and keeping spare parts on the shelf back to the power companies, why in the world would any responsible business, engineer, man, or whatever not have some on-hand stock to keep their business running, whether it be power, whether it be a computer room, whether it be, you know, a mechanic shop. If you're a certified GM, you're going to have certain – and real quick, you know, most of my listeners know I had a large oak tree fall on my water system. Well, I went to Lowe's to get something called a check valve, which is nothing more than a diode in a water system. It's a very, very, very common part. They had none. And I needed a 1-inch input output, but I was willing to use adapters to go either 1-inch or 1.5 or 1.25. Dan, they were out of those. That's like going to Goodyear tire store and them saying, well, hey, welcome to Goodyear, Jim, but we don't have any tires on the shelf. It's going to take us 2 weeks to get your tires in.
Right.
You see, I mean, yep. Common sense has left us, and that's the one thing I pray to Yahweh that we are fleeced to where we can help bring that back, Dan. And again, thanks for letting me get on the mic.
Yep, no problem, buddy. And Magnum, welcome to the program, bud.
Hey, how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I was just sitting there thinking, it's kind of a good segue Jim just had about common sense, and I was sitting there thinking about you talking about your first dirt burner that you were at. Your first coal-fired plant.
Yeah.
How skilled craftsmen would pull an instrument off the wall, you know, put a little bit of elbow grease into it, put it right back on, and it ran, you know, for another 10 years and so forth. And now everything's replaceable. You go to the Navy. Everything's black box replacement. There is no skilled craftsman going down to the component level replacement. And the reason why I'm kind of leading into this is look at our relationships. Everything's a 2-year cell phone contract to everything. Marriages used to last. They used to have people that put the elbow grease into their marriages and they would last. But then the rules changed. It's big business. It's big business to have more parts being sold, so things don't last very long. And if you can get a marriage to last maybe 2 to 5 years, it's big business for who? The Jews, the majority of the lawyers that are out there. And so I was thinking about that. And the other one was about 20 years ago, 25 years ago or so, heard a show that said everything, you know, is coming from China. And I went out to Walmart, and I remember this to this day. Every piece of item I picked up said made in China. And it kind of, after about the 17th item I picked up, it kind of freaked me out. It's crazy when you start looking at who's behind the CNN, the CNNBC, Hollywood, and so forth. And I challenge anyone, go look at who's at the top. And every one of them, Pastor Dan, you're exactly right, is run by a Jew, with rare exception. So when you're controlling at the top and you're making everything a 2-year cell phone contract, they're making money hand over fist by destroying the very fabric of America that's here. Whether it's in power industry or whether it's a marriage, it's all the same shit. And they go ahead and they just change the laws around to benefit themselves. So that's all I wanted to share.
Yeah, amen to that. And I remember also being alarmed back in the day when this was all going on. I was still playing softball. As I got older, I switched from baseball to softball, but I continued to play softball for a long time. So I went to get a new glove. I played catcher, pitcher, first base, outfield. So I wanted a better glove. So I went down to get a glove, and I looked on the shelf. There was only one glove made in America. Everything else came from either China, Korea, Sri Lanka, you name it, but not America. So I picked up the American, I think it was a Rawlings, and I bought it because it had a stamp that said Made in America. I said, you know what, I'm going to keep this in a bag. I'm going to play with it for now, but when I get done playing softball, I'm going to put this in a bag. I still have that glove. And I'm going to keep it as a reminder to everybody that thinks I'm crazy because I'm warning about stuff not made in America anymore, because I want this to be a symbol. And sure enough, over the years, you cannot get baseball equipment made in the United States. I don't know of anybody making it. Now, if somebody knows of one and sends it to me, I'll recant and put that advertising out there. There are a few websites that put together lists of companies still making things here, but it's shrinking. And again, from a strategic standpoint, how is that beneficial, not only economically, but how does that put you in the world, the political realm? How do you fight a war when you can't even make your own baseball equipment, let alone your power equipment, your dies and all in the factories? You're not making that anymore. And I found out, here's a kicker. Half of the berets that our military wear are made in China. Half of the combat boots our military are wearing are made in China. Now, let's see. We're going to go to war with China. Okay, so half of your soldiers are going to go to the battlefield wearing what? Socks? Sandals? Flip-flops? What kind of moron thinks that that's a good policy, that your military's outfitted by a potential enemy?
Or, Dan, look at, you know, here's how they try to sneak one past us. It'll say assembled in the USA. Well, it's assembled from parts that were made in China, Taiwan.
Oh, yeah.
As you,
yep.
Yeah, see, but that's how they think they're fooling us, patriots, to, you know, oh, it's assembled. I bought a flag. I buy a new flag for my house every 4th of July because my flag flies out there, and after a year, I do my best to take it down in inclement weather, and I used to take it down at sunrise and put it up each morning. At sunset and to put it up each morning at sunrise, but I got a pole mount that stays on one of the pillars, and I leave my flag out. Like, I go to Lowe's, and it says, I see the big USA. It didn't say, it said assembled in small print, assembled in, and then the big USA with the flag. Well, I get it home, and the bracket was this soft aluminum or white metal or something, and I put it all up, and the next morning I go out there, my poor flag is draping. I put it at like a 45 degree so that the mast, and it hangs down. I go out the next morning, and this bracket had just collapsed under the weight of the very flag that it came with. So I go to take it back, and I notice in small print, assembled, as I stated, in the USA. And then on the other side of the cardboard, you know, clamp on the plastic wrap, made in China. I unloaded on Lowe's for false advertising. But you see what I'm saying? They are fooling us. Yeah. And the thing is, folks, and I'll shut up, because I on Sunday mornings I'm rested and ready to go, but we have got to start making our own. And back to what you said about corn, who in the world, other than greed and control, would modify corn so that it didn't propagate? You selfish... Well, it's Sunday, and I'll say it. That's not really a bad word. But you selfish, greedy bastards. How dare you? And in the modification of your greed, you've also introduced genetically modified corn into our bodies, which, as we all know, has caused all kinds of things. Anyway, but I just want to throw that in there. Be very careful of the term assembled in the USA, because that, to me, shines a light of a lie.
Hey, Pastor Dan. I just went over to the closet, pulled out the combat boots I wore over in Afghanistan, and what a shocker. Right on the tongue, on the underside, made in China. I wish I could upload a photo and send it to you guys.
Well, thanks for that verification, Magnum. That's appreciated. I do know you were over there in the combat zone, so you still have your combat boots in the closet. That's good.
Well, thank you for your service, Mr. Magnum. We truly, truly, truly thank you for your bravery and for your gift of time to go over and play their game, and I don't mean that with any disrespect, but you guys, man, my hat's off to you guys, and I'm glad you're home safe, my friend.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yep. So you got some, when we were talking about the courts being set up against us, you got verification of that, don't you, Magnum?
Well, I'm kind of a little bit of an anomaly, because when I kind of lead into this one, if anyone's going to get married today, especially for us men, you've got to have your ducks in a row. Pretty much every relationship, you know, starts out great and then it turns to crap for a lot of us. But yeah, I mean, when I went to Afghanistan, my lovely devoted wife found herself not so devoted to me and decided to run around with a bunch of guys. But I had a ex-military friend that I became a friend. He went ahead and he got 4 hours of video of her with multiple men, including my boss, my manager at the corporation I was working at. And I came home and I did get custody. And luckily I was in North Carolina and they frowned very heavily if you want to do stuff like that. And I did get custody of my kids. So, I mean, a little bit of an anomaly, but that is the exception rather than the rule. The rule is most men are going to get divorce raped inside the courts because it's all lined up for the women. It absolutely is. But it's part of the plan to destabilize the family. So,
Yeah. And take power away from the male.
And take power away from the male,
because
absolutely.
Because we're the leaders. Whether anybody likes it or not, we men were set up in the hierarchy of things by the father. This was by design. Adam was put here first. And I remind everybody, go back and read Genesis, please. Adam was put here by himself to tend this garden. By himself. It was his request for a helper that females were created by the father. Now, that's not my story. That's not my design. It's by Yahweh's design, okay? And if you don't like it, I suggest you take it up with him. And praise Yahweh, after 19 years, I have yet to receive one single death threat, one single negative email, and I only had two somewhat negative calls over the years. One of them by a homosexual when I was in Michigan that didn't like what I was saying. And I just told him to shut the channel off and go to one that is pro-gay. I said, I'm not going to change the Bible or what the Bible says for you or anybody else. And he never came back. So in all those years, I've never been to visit. And I've been kind of sad about that. I have not yet been visited by any of the alphabet agencies in Washington. And it makes me feel like maybe I'm not doing a very good job.
Hey Dan, I'll share one of my four visits with you.
That's okay. Well, actually, for many years, I knew they were listening in, and I used to say things on the telephone or on the radio, knowing full well that they lie when they say they're not spying on us. I knew they were, and so many of the things I would say was with the intention that they would hear what I had to say because. That's why I said that I wanted them to visit me, because I have words of condemnation for them that Father has for them. I want them to hear that, because they are held in contempt for what they're doing. Possibly that got back to some of them. I don't know. But we do see a change of heart starting to take place. We do see some things on the horizon that look awful good for the restoration of this poor earth, because we've allowed these corporations, primarily Jewish, to pollute every institution that we have, including marriage, the family, every produce of the field. GMOs are not only destroying the human body, they're destroying the animals and even the honeybees. And I've got this straight from some of the people that gather the honey and sell it commercially. The honeybees are losing the ability to go out and gather the pollen and find their way back to the hive. They're basically getting lost because the GMO products. They said it. This did not stop happening. This phenomena did not start to happen until the local farmers started producing the GMO corn and the GMO other products. So
you're right, Dan. I had a beekeeper come and remove a hive. I wasn't sure if they were Africanized or what, and it turned out that, you know, he wanted the queen. So in return for, and he did, I've got some great pictures, and the process took about 3 weeks, but he carefully separated the hive. He hung his hive box up in the tree, and he taught me, I didn't realize this, but these bees travel miles and miles from their hive to go either pollinate, you know, there's clove honey and orange blossom honey here in Florida and so on and so forth. And I keep in touch with them, and he said, Jim, he goes, I'm a dying breed. And he said the same thing. It causes navigational issues. They're, you know, my hummingbirds and my bees here on my land used to be plentiful. I have plenty of flowers. And I have seen a couple of monarch butterflies here and there, which is a godsend. But you're right. We have genetically re-engineered Yahweh's creation of vegetation, and this is where I get fighting mad. This is where my Scottish blood boils. These people, and I'm not a violent man, but I'm also one to kick somebody's butt if they're messing with the well-being of others. We're in trouble, and if I add to your list, the farmers are, I pray for our farmers. They are hanging on, if they haven't already been foreclosed on, they're hanging on by the skin of their chinny chin chin, as we used to hear as kids. And if I had the wherewithal, I would definitely be a financial advocate for our farmers. And like you said, Dan, I have solace that we can bring this back. And one of the things we really have got to bring back at high rates of speed, aside from steel manufacturing and other things, is our beloved farmers and our glowing sea of grain, and get rid of these Monsantos. You know, Monsanto now, if you are a true farmer and they find some of their seed that has drifted over from the other GMO farm, they are suing these farmers out of business. I'm sure you've heard about all that, not to change gears.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's why the Jew that runs Monsanto is sold out to Bayer. That's what they always do. They run their corrupt business until they're discovered, and then to try to get out of financial responsibility and culpability, they change names, reorganize, or they just sell out to another Jew, and then they'll claim that, you know, that they're gone, it's owned by somebody else, so you got to go after them.
Well, we all grew up. Bayer, the trusted brand, you know. Remember Bayer baby aspirin, and Bayer, in my world, was a trusted company until I looked in to figure out that they're anything but.
Exactly.
Just
like Q says, be careful who you trust. Real quick, I want to let everybody know, too, I haven't put up a video in a long time. I'm going to put one up here shortly that covers prayer and the healing portions of prayer. So it'll be probably in the next few days. I'll put that up there so as a heads up. Prayer is important, and it is an important part of healing, folks. Your body is a beautiful mechanism. If you give it the right things and you stop doing the wrong things, that's the part that everybody has a problem with. You have to stop doing the wrong things. So if you do that and do the right things, the body is a miraculous machine, and it can heal from almost any ailment. So Magnum, did you have anything else there, buddy?
No, Pastor Dan. I'm going to kind of sit back and let you close it out, but I'm good to go. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak on your program.
Absolutely, buddy. Yahweh bless you.
Yah bless.
All right, very good. And Magnum and I go back a long, long ways. We were both at the same power plant when we became friends, and I'm gonna tell you, Magnum is one of the stellar guys. He's one of the few guys I can say I've met over the years that hard worker, good ethics, comes from good stock, good family, good values, and it's always a pleasure to know it in my circle that guys like him I can count as friends. And not only friends, but counselors, words of wisdom and counsel from time to time. So praise Yahweh for that. And I'll tell you, folks, again, these are perilous times, but they're also exciting times because a lot of the Christian world has been duped into thinking that the tribulation's to come and the rapture is going to pull them up out of this thing, and they want to believe that garbage. And these prostitutes that have sold them off, as this clergy response team list will show, they've sold out their congregations for perks, for money, for benefits, hospitalization. They've basically been told, don't worry about it, you'll be covered. We're just going to take the sheep in your congregation, and we're going to send them off to the camps, but you're going to be one of the good guys. Here's the beautiful part, though. You're dealing with communists, and what these preachers haven't realized is the communists will line them up to shoot first. So I guess there is a silver lining in the cloud in the sense that they're in bed with the devil, and this particular communist Jew devil has a reputation of taking people like these clergymen that will sell out their congregations. They're the first ones that they round up and execute once they've attained power. So hallelujah for that. Their end is not going to be a good one for their treason, whether it's the communists who take them out or if we win in this restoration of this poor earth through the white hats and through the work of the patriots and the believers. But their end is already sealed. Their treason. They're claiming to preach and teach the word of our living Father, and they are committing treason against him, which is a huge no-no, and they're committing treason against their congregations. And so it's not going to bode well for them either way they go. But they've made their bed, as my mother used to say. You make your bed and you have to lay in it. So if you don't make it very well, guess what? You won't have a very comfortable bed, but you make your bed and you will lay in it. So, all right, we're pretty close to the end. Jimmy, if you have any closing comments, buddy.
No, Dan, other than my standard heartfelt closing comment, thank you so much for your gift of time, for hosting these calls. I'm truly honored to be in your circle. Magnum is another distant kindred soul that I can feel the power from. I'm honored to hear his voice and again thank him for his service. And Dan, thank you so much for making me a part of your conference calls here. I'm truly honored. Yahweh bless and have a blessed week to all.
Very good. Yahweh bless, Jimmy. Take care, bud. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are close to the end time here. Again, I want to remind you about that new video. It was a request by one of our listeners over in England, and so I'm going to try to put something together tomorrow or the next day and put that up for you. Healing, we all need healing. We need spiritual healing. We need physical healing. Our adversary has done his best to destroy us on every front possible, and certainly our physical bodies is one of them, and it's a business thing to them because their God is gold. Their God is money. That's why the book of Revelation says it's the merchants that do the weeping and wailing. Why? Because Yahweh's going to tear this thing down. Who else is weeping and wailing? These corporate giants and these government officials at the highest levels. The book of Revelation calls them kings and princes, but that in those days they were the highest officials. Well, today they're called prime ministers. They're called deputy directors and directors. They're called presidents, cabinet members, congressmen, parliament members, you name it, okay? Why are they weeping and wailing? Because they're all sold-out bastards. That's why. They've all sold their soul, just like these preachers have, to the devil for the delicacies of the beast, the whore of Babylon. All right? Delicacies. The Greek word delicacies just mean any kind of a favor, whether it be money, position, power, promises of the future, whatever. The delicacies of the whore of Babylon. They've sold us out. And they will be weeping and wailing. Praise Yahweh. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We're very, very thankful that your word will not come back to you void. It goes out from here and all the other watchmen on the wall, and it has been for a long, long time. We're very, very thankful that you've seen to it that the words will reach the ears that are meant to hear, that it will strike their souls and awaken them and enliven them and enter the Holy Spirit, so that they can walk upright, proud, hold their heads high, and not in shame. That they can be strong warriors for righteousness and justice and turn against evil. Yahweh told us through the psalmist that we are to resist evil with all of our hearts. Also through the Proverbs. Evil, no matter what form it takes, no matter how much power it has, we are to resist evil at all times. We are at the end of this age, this earth age, and this will be a new beginning for the righteous. This will be the end of those who do wickedness. Yahweh has spoken it. Yahweh has said it. It will come to pass. So as we go into this end months of 2018, may it be as Bill Holter proclaimed 2018 to be the year that truth matters. That's all that has been waiting for this poor earth to turn around, is for our people to once again say that truth matters. That's why Yahweh said, I am the truth. He said the truth first. The truth, then the way, and then the life. The path to life, the path to justice, the path to prosperity, the path to health, it starts with truth, not lies, not propaganda, and not those that you think you can trust, and that includes the medical mafia, as well as the clergy, the government, etc., even law enforcement. Some of them are being rounded up as pedophiles and child rapists and traffickers as well. It's all been waiting for the truth to matter. So, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, again, we thank you for this opportunity to share. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for the plan. Q often refers to the plan. Well, the plan is your plan. That's the only plan that matters. And if Q is following your plan, then it's a good thing. If it's following some other plan, it's not going to work. We, your sons and daughters, follow your plan. And we will be part of this great awakening, and we will be part of the vengeance that's put upon those who do wicked things. We thank you for Jimmy and the folks over at Bank versus UTV, those listeners over there and the ones that they get in contact with. We ask a blessing upon him and his audience. We ask a blessing upon your sons and daughters wherever they walk and whatever they do. Many are in travail right now with health issues or legal issues. Watch out for your sons and daughters, Father. We've taken a lot of abuse. We've been through the tribulation. How many hundreds of millions have suffered under the heel of these draconian cretins that walk around in shoe leather pretending to be human when they are anything but? It's time for the son of perdition to be exposed and to be done away with. We ask and pray that you would give us the strength, the courage, the honor and integrity that it takes for a true son of Yahweh to do his work. We ask for good discernment to see through the lies and the deceptions. And we ask a soldier's ransom at this time of the Feast of Tabernacles. We ask for a soldier's ransom on all of your warrior men out there. $1, guys, a half a shekel of silver. $1 donated to whatever you consider Yahweh's work in this world. That's your ransom. And then I'll ask a blessing of Father upon you as his son and his warrior to defend your families, to defend righteousness, to defend the widows, to defend the orphans, and to see that right is done in this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We ask and pray all these things in the name of our one and only Creator, Lawgiver, and Judge, Yahweh El Shaddai. Amen.